This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
All right, a quick disclaimer for this episode. The people involved in the events that I'm about to speak about are my dear friends, and I love them sincerely. This is in no way a judgment or a critique. It is simply the observations of a person who is fascinated by a world that I previously had not been privy to. Honestly, I feel like that's the shit you say, like, right before you say some real fucked up stuff. But, nah, I love you guys. Like, this is all in love. Let's go.
What is TWS Podcast, episode whatever, who cares at this point?
The rants were vindicated.
It's my podcast and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Rich. All right, we're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS Podcast?
One's ready.
I feel like the answer's
staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, they ain't ready.
Loving you is lovely, or loving me, I don't know. Somebody send me the words to that. I don't know. Welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS Podcast. As always, I am J.Dot Flam, representing the White Pants Society, and thank you again. Again, if this is not the first episode you've ever heard, but thank you for listening, regardless of what episode this is. I messed that completely up, but you know what I'm trying to get at. Have you ever noticed that when somebody has to drop a disclaimer like that, like, it's because they're about to do the very thing that they're explaining to you they won't do? You know what I mean? Like when somebody says, I don't mean to be racist, but you know that they about to say the most racist shit that you've ever heard. Like as if a non-racist ever had to be worried about convincing someone that what they're about to say is not racist. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. So I'm hoping to, like, buck the trend on this one. Like, I sincerely, you know, am not, like, poking fun or judging anything. I'm just, like, I am sincerely fascinated by, like, you know, this look into a world that I wasn't even sure was real and that I never was, you know, exposed to. I really do love these people. These are, you know, very close, close, dear friends to me. And I am genuinely concerned. And this is new territory for me. This is the first time I'm genuinely concerned that I might offend somebody. Like, I don't want to offend anyone. It's not where any of this is coming from. I'm not sure people realize, like, how foreign. I'm not sure any of us understands, like, how foreign our world is to someone else. You know, like, as much as it is just life, and life as you know it, and life as maybe the majority of the people that you're around know it, to a lot of people, it is a completely foreign world. And, you know, some of what I enjoy doing this podcast, or what I enjoy doing in this podcast is bringing people who maybe my world is foreign to, into it. And then, you know, in my personal life, I'm having a lot of fun being exposed to worlds that I wasn't, that are foreign to me, that I wasn't aware of. So, I don't know. This is where I am with this. Like the events of this weekend were so interesting to me. Like, I want to write one of those, you know, what I did this summer papers or something. Like, I'm like research paper level interested in what took place, and like just understanding and being more aware that world. All right, so to not beat around the bush anymore, no more disclaimers. Y'all know this comes from a good place. I went to my first hippie wedding this weekend. Yeah. And let me start off by saying it was awesome. It was the best. It was one of the best things I've ever been to just on so many levels. It was just absolutely, completely awesome. It was about love. It was about two people beginning a life together and just wanting to commemorate that moment, you know, with their family and friends. I was honored to be invited and to be allowed to be a part of it and be allowed to, you know, be a part of that moment, you know, that I, you know, that will go down in history or whatever. Man, you know, it was a big moment. It was a big moment for them. It's a big moment for me. And, you know, to be allowed to be there was big for me. And, but I learned so much. I learned that I worry about the wrong things. Like I spent a lot of time, you know, before I got there, like one, I was running late. I was on CP time, and I wasn't sure how that was, you know, how that worked in that world. One, I didn't understand going into it necessarily, which I should have, but I wasn't in the mind frame that this was going to be like a hippie wedding. Like I was invited to a wedding. And this is my man. It's like, this is my man's. Like, this is, you know, this is my homie. I'm going to his wedding. So, like, I'm real concerned about, like, do I have formal enough attire to attend this wedding? Like, you know, in the jumble that has been my life in the last year, you know, my clothing options are kind of limited. Like, I still don't have full access to everything I had. And not everything I had was great to begin with. But anyway, I do want to shout out myself a little bit before I even get to shouting out anybody else. I want to shout out myself because I stepped out of my toxic masculinity playbook this weekend and I did something I would have normally done. I wore a pink tie. Yeah, I wore a pink tie to this wedding. Come to find out, I don't think I needed a tie, but I wore a pink tie to this wedding. And I felt good about wearing the pink tie because I also had on pink flamingo socks that matched. So I was rocking the tie and the pink flamingo socks because I finally come around and come to terms, you know, with a secret that was given a long time ago, but now I understand it, you know.
Well, the secret is you got to coordinate.
Uh-huh.
Most people don't coordinate. So you got to coordinate.
I was coordinated and I felt amazing about it. I don't even think nobody peeped the flamingo socks. And I'm kind of like, man, I ain't really get the floss like I wanted the floss. But anyway, I digress. Enough about me. I was real excited about my pink tie. Shout outs to Flan. anyway, but yeah, I was real concerned about things like that, about, you know, what I was wearing, you know, being on time. and this was not like the vibe of the day. The vibe was not about anything formulaic or rules or convention. You know, it was just, man, two people wanted to be together. They wanted to make it official. And they wanted to do it around people that they cared about and that cared about them. And that's just how beautifully simplistic the day was. And I'm loving these kind of events with, you know, with these folks. Like, there's so much my community could learn from this kind of stuff, man. Like, they get to the point where, like, no extra pomp, you know, pomp for the sake of pomp. Like, they don't just do the flash and flare just because. Like, if there's a reason for it, if it'll accentuate the moment somehow, like, in a non-frivolous kind of way, I guess they'll go with it. But, you know what I'm saying? Like you go to Catholic Church, they get to the point, and then they get you home in time for football. It's like, let's do what we came here to do, and then let's party. You know what I mean? I was at this wedding. The ceremony lasted like all of 5 minutes. as if the understanding was, we know y'all came for the prime rib and the cake, so let's not hold you. You know, let's go ahead and let's get to what we came here to do. This moment, this ceremony is, I guess that they understood the ceremony for what the ceremony was. It is not a finish line. It's not a, you know, it is the beginning. And like everything a marriage is what happens after you say I do. Like, it's not, that moment is the smallest moment in the marriage. It's the beginning and maybe the most important, but the marriage itself is everything that happens afterward. It's everything that happens, life afterward. And they got to the afterward like as quickly as possible. So yeah, man, like, so I'm looking at church ceremonies. I'm looking at how this wedding went. Secretly, I don't want to say I'm excited to possibly ever get invited to a white funeral or a hippie funeral, but I am kind of excited, you know, for the possibility of getting invited to a funeral. Yeah, I mean, it's just jokes, people. Don't take it too seriously, but on the real, invite me. I want to go. I had a lot of firsts this weekend. A lot of firsts. It was my first twice baked potato. Didn't know it was a thing. Now I do. It's like, to me, it was like mashed potatoes in the potato skin, but it was delicious. It was wonderful. It paired wonderfully with the prime rib that was served. Shout outs to Dad for that. It's awesome. It's my first time having Chantilly cake and knowing what it was. I feel like I've had this particular kind of cake before, but I didn't know it was Chantilly. I don't know most things have names. Like, I don't know. That's something I'm learning being around certain people. You know, culture is different, or they have a little more understanding of some histories or traditional things. I don't know stuff has names. It was like, it was cake with the fruit and stuff in it. And I feel like I've had it before, but I didn't know it was Chantilly cake. Like, I didn't know that was a thing. Chantilly is like a suburb of where I'm from. Like, I didn't know it was a cake as well, but I know now. I had it. It was dope. It's my first time drinking ginger beer out of a whiskey glass and a champagne flute at the same occasion. Bow. Sobriety was at an all-time high. Again, shouts to my friends. Very accommodating. I came in, you know. And they did what I wish other people would do and maybe understand. Like, my sobriety is my sobriety. That's my thing. If you invite me to a wedding, I'm going to assume there's going to be alcohol there. That's just pretty normal at weddings. It'd be weird if it wasn't. And so if I show up, you should have the understanding that I'm okay with the fact that there's alcohol there. Now, they made sure that there was an option for me. You know, there was something else to partake in other than the alcohol. So I didn't, you know, so that wasn't an issue. But it never made it weird. Like, nobody didn't drink or, you know, made an issue about the fact that they were drinking it never became an issue. It never became an issue because nobody brought it up. And people drank freely around me and there was alcohol everywhere. I was, you know, I was kind of proud of myself for that. It was my first time kind of being in that close of proximity to alcohol during this, you know, this sobriety journey this time around. And yeah, man, you know, thanks to my higher power, like, the obsession has been removed. I was able to enjoy the day without being fixated on alcohol. But yeah, that was the first for me. This was the first time I had ever heard LSD mentioned so casually in conversation. Like, it was amazing to me, like, that, like, you could just openly discuss LSD, like, just bad. Like, it wasn't even like a lead in. It wasn't one of those things they, like, somebody leaned over and whispered, like, yeah, I was on LSD with that. Like, it was just like, yeah, LSD. Like it was just normal conversation. The conversation was so crazy. But crazy and dope at the same time. I mean, we talked about everything. We talked about everything. Please let this be the right button. Man, we talked about time slips. We talked about alien conspiracies, the coronavirus. We talked about the prison industrial complex. We talked about vampire novel. We talked about everything. And it was crazy, though. Like I said, I learned an incredible amount of stuff from this occasion. If you have not been to a hippie wedding, I fully endorse it. I believe it's I wish I could go to one every weekend. Like, somebody needs to get married next weekend just so I can hang out and peep the vibes. It was so dope. Now, I learned a very important thing here, and I'm not going to go too deep in it because I don't understand global politics like that. I don't really follow them. It's a character defect, I know, but it's who I am. I can't confirm where or through whom I came across this information, but I'm going to put y'all on game. Prince Harry, or former prince, is he still a prince? I don't know. He may be in the midst of a plot to take over the world. And this is how I'm about to blow your mind. Like, listen closely. Again, not going to go too deep into it because I don't understand it like that. But it was dope enough that I want to share it with all of y'all. But basically, if you peep game right now, Harry and Meghan are on this, like, world tour. Like, checking out wherever, chilling, doing whatever. Now, what they can be doing is hitting all these spots and just have kids, having kids in them locations throughout the world. Now, these children are citizens of whatever, you know, spot they got dropped off in Canada. I think we talked about them being in Canada and then, you know, possibly, you know, coming down to the U.S., having a kid. And then these kids, because we love Harry and Meghan so much, when they come of age, they could run for office and they will win. And next thing you know, the lineage of Harry and Meghan now hold power over several continents in the country. I know we specifically discussed North America. You know, we discussed Canada and the U.S. We discussed Australia. But who else, you know, who knows how far this could reach? I know I just blew your mind, but, you know, just take some time, take it in. You know, try to understand it. I don't fully understand it, but I'm sharing with you because it's dope. And that's what I do. I share because I care. You understand it. Now, I'm going to wrap this up, but I want to wrap it up with the moment in the day that stood out the most to me. And it wasn't the ceremony. It wasn't because I swear to God, 5 minutes. We was in and we was out. It was beautiful. But the moment that really stood out to me, what made me make this event the theme for my episode this week was the rehearsal, which happened just minutes before the actual ceremony. But we're outside, so the ceremony took place at my homie's house in the backyard. So we're out in the backyard, huge backyard. It's got like cow skulls and a slide. There's a lot of shit going on in this backyard. Like, y'all have no idea where I was this weekend. It's crazy. In the backyard, though. And we're doing a little rehearsal. So it's not everybody out there. It's a couple of us. And we're out there. Swear to God, rehearsal took longer than the ceremony. But we're out there. And there are about four dogs at the house for the ceremony. And they all, like, wearing bows and stuff. Like, they're a part of the thing. Like, these are very important dogs. And they're all there. So I wrote here what we didn't understand. But maybe it was just me. Now that I think about it, maybe it was just me. When we decided to go outside to rehearse, and, you know, all the dogs went with us, what I didn't understand, to me, we was all going outside. I believe what the dogs heard was bathroom break. We was going into their bathroom. So they got outside, and it felt like they strategically placed themselves, you know, in the area that things were going to take on, that things were going to go on, as if to say they wanted to make sure that nobody felt left out. Nobody felt like they were too far away from one of the little gifts that they were about to drop. Like, they just wanted to make sure they were spread out enough that everybody could say they was close to one. Like, that's how I felt. And I was freaking the fuck out. It felt like nobody else was paying attention to these dogs. Like, nobody cared. And it rightfully so. They rehearsing for a wedding. They rehearsing for the main event. So, you know, the dogs are not, maybe I shouldn't have been focusing on the dogs, but I can't, when I see an animal squat, I don't know, just grabs my attention. So anyway, so this is happening, and I'm freaking out, you know, I'm freaking out, like, quietly, because I am, like, outside of my comfort zone. I am far enough away from downtown Austin that if I screamed, no, nobody would have heard me. There are cow skulls in this back in this backyard. But I'm amongst friends. But still, I'm black. Like, I worry about shit. Like, you know, it's just human nature. So I'm freaking out, but I'm not trying to, like, show that I'm freaking out. And then finally, I guess, you know, the bride, like, caught wind of it. I think one of the packages was deposited, like, right to the left of, you know, where they were going to stand for the ceremonies. So it was close enough to be in, you know, like I said, they was spreading them out to make sure nobody felt left out. But, so she finally, you know, caught wind of what was going on. And she came up with a solution that I would have never thought of. It never dawned on me, you know, that this was the solution. I noticed nobody out there had the little baggies. I wasn't going to volunteer to pick up one because that's just not what I do. But, like, without missing a beat, she said, put a rock on it. And that's what we did. We put rocks on it. And when I say we, I mean, like, in the sense that we're all a part of the wedding party. And so what one person does can be attributed to the entire group. I'm in no way saying that I put a rock on any of the turds, because I just can't. It's not in me to do. But we did it. We took care of it. We knocked it out. It was rocks put on them. And everything went off without a hitch. It's beautiful. Yeah. And I feel like, and it didn't dawn on me, like, the metaphor for marriage that was in there, like, put a rock on it. You know, I'm not even going to explain it. Y'all get it or you don't get it. But I think the deeper metaphor was actually for the simplicity and the genius of the whole occasion. You know, like, the whole occasion was just focused on what needed to be focused on. It wasn't like getting wrapped up in, you know, a turd or getting wrapped up in any of it. It was just, well, you know, put a rock on it. Keep moving. But, I just want to thank those guys for including me in an awesome day. It's one I won't soon forget. And it is one that is now immortalized in podcast form. You can consider this my gift. You're welcome. Nah, but honestly, I get paid on Friday, so if you just hit me with the details for your registry, you know, we can make things right. I'm gonna work on that. Don't worry about it. But with that said, the coronavirus is here, people. So the theme for this episode is love who you want to love and make sure that they know. You know, there will come a day where there's no more time to do the things that you put off, so just go ahead and do them now. And when life hands you piles of shit, put a rock on it. Until we speak again, be safe and be the light. Hit me up. Let me know what Flan can do for you. And shit, let's rock out.
Quali! Yeah. They wasn't expecting us. That's why you gotta hope for the best and plan for the worst. Come on. This is history. This the story of Lucy
in the sky with diamonds.
Ask her why she crying, she wanna live, she got no time for dying.
What's the science?
Dreams too big for a small town. She gotta get to New York and watch a door fall down.
Hopped on the Greyhound.
Gotta make a way now. She's sleeping on the park benches in the playground. The cash burn quick, the one that have